In the fall of 2007, Rusty York dropped by WVXU's studios to talk with Stuart Holman about his work at King Records.
Rusty, welcome.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Just found out that you've got a Harlan County background, and I was born in Pineville and spent most of my summers as a child in Harlan. What about Harlan?
Well, Harlan is just up the road from Pineville.
And how long did you live in Harlan?
Until I moved to Breathitt County.
How old were you then?
Probably 14.
So were you playing bluegrass in Harlan when you were a child? Were you playing before that?
No.
And you started in Breathitt County?
Yes.
And on the guitar, is that right?
Yes.
Let's talk about, try to get into the King Records side of your experience, and I'm just real curious to hear what you have to say about that. What was your first contact with Sid Nathan?
Well, one time someone called me, Lou Epstein from Jimmy Skinner Music Center, and he said, do you know anybody can sing like Buddy Holly? I said, sure.
Who was
so
that?
I was kidding. So it was me.
Yeah, sure. When you say Jimmy Skinner's Music Center, is that a large music store in downtown Cincinnati?
Yes, it was very large. It was at 222 East 5th Street, across from the bus station.
And who was Epstein?
He was the manager of the place, and he died at 39 years old.
So what did Nathan have in mind when he was looking around for somebody to sing like Buddy Holly?
He wanted to cover Buddy Holly's Peggy Sue.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you'd know why I feel blue without Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Well, I love you, gal. Yes, I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue. Oh, how my heart yearns for you, oh, 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 Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal. Yes, I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue. Pretty, 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 pretty Peggy Sue. Oh, 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 Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal. I need you, Peggy Sue.
I love you, Peggy Sue, with a love so rare and true. Oh, oh, Peggy, and my Peggy Sue. Well, I love you, gal, and I want you, Peggy Sue. Pretty, 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 pretty Peggy Sue. Oh, 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 Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Well, I love you, gal, and I need you, Peggy Sue. I love you, Peggy Sue, with a love so rare and true. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Yes, I love you, gal, and I want you, Peggy Sue. Yes, I love you, gal, and I want you, Peggy Sue.
So you cut Peggy Sue at King Records.
It was 1957.
When you did that session, you were brought in as a singer, and then there were musicians there to play behind you. Had you played with them before? Did you even know those people?
No, no, no. I had not played with them before.
Yeah, you know, Sid was the first, goes down in history as the first person to pretty much develop the concept of studio musicians rather than bringing in your band.
Right, yeah. Right.
And you and Bonnie Lou also worked together at King, did you not?
Yes, about 60.
Did you sing as a duo?
Yes, we did. We did La-Di-Da and Let the School Bells Ring, Ting-a-Ling.
I'm glad, so glad, glad you are you.
Say that was straight ahead country?
No, it was rock and roll.
Once again, session musicians there.
I brought a band. I was playing in Columbus, Ohio mm-hmm. at the time, and I brought the band down, and I figured out that you don't bring a band in.
Sid was a notch ahead of you on that. He'd
yes.
already figured it. So that didn't work?
No, it didn't.
So your band, you tried it, didn't work, and you had to make other arrangements.
Well, we recorded with the band, but I never would go back in the studio again with mm-hmm. the band.
So let's address rockabilly a little bit. We know what that sounds like and kind of what the instrumentation is and the beat and how that's put together. But I'm just curious, when you were playing rockabilly, was that word floating around?
No, no, not at all. We called it rock and roll.
My shake'em up, baby, she's the best dancing fool in town. My shake'em up, baby, she's the best dancing fool in town. Well, she can shake it up right, she can shake it all upside down. She can shake it like a monkey, shake it on a coconut tree. She can shake it like a monkey, shakes on a coconut tree. She can do the bop, bop's real fine with me. Shake 'em up, baby, shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up all the time. Shotgun on his trail. But she can shake it like a rabbit with a shotgun on his trail. Like an old alley cat when the hound dog grabs his tail. Well, she can strut like a rooster calling on his hen. But she can strut like a rooster calling on his hen. Well, she can do the chicken, all you gotta do is tell her when. Shake 'em up, baby. 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 Shake 'em up all the time. Shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up, baby.
Around Cincinnati, during that period, and we're talking pre-Sugary or right at that time, when that style of rock and roll that we now refer to as rockabilly was happening, would you go into clubs and venues like that around Cincinnati, and was that the music that you heard?
Yeah, I heard quite a few of those type songs, but one night I was at the Old Hickory Cafe. I got up on stage and I performed Mystery Train. And I shook my legs and everything, and just making fun of them. And Pat Nelson happened to be there, and he said, oh, we got to do a rock and roll record. The crowd became unglued.
because of your gyrations and your singing and the style of music. So it was it was overwhelming. And you were doing it as a spoof.
Yes, I was.
And were you playing with the Cajuns at that time?
I had recorded with the Cajuns, but that was later on. Then we went out right away and we cut Red Rooster for one side and the Sugar Ree was the other side. I had the Cajuns with me. We recorded it two or three times.
When you say two or three times, are you talking about a takes in the studio?
Yes.
And tell us about that studio experience on Sugar Ree. Were those studio musicians?
They were the Cajuns.
What was the setup in the studio regarding live and overdubbing? Was there any overdubbing on that record?
No, not at all, because they didn't have overdubbing in those days.
Mm-hmm. Was your drummer in the room with you?
Yes.
So the band went in and set up some microphones, you played the tune, and either it was a take or it wasn't.
Yes.
And did that include the vocals, too?
Yes.
I got a letter from my baby. She said she's coming home today. I got a letter from my baby. She said she's coming home today. Oh, well, my baby wasn't lying. She was coming home to stay. Sugary, sugary. A pencil and a paper, and I sat right down to write. I got a pencil and a paper, and I sat right down to write. I said I miss you in the daytime, but I miss you more at night. Sugary, sugary. She had her baggage in her hand. Well, I met her at the station. She had her baggage in her hand. I said, I love you, pretty baby. I'll make you happy if I can. Sugary, sugary.
How did the selection of Sugar Ree come about?
Pat Nelson, who was my erstwhile manager, said, let's do Sugar Ree. But he first mentioned a few others, like Love Me and Great Balls of Fire. So we decided on Sugar Ree, and I just made the words up. He said, it's going to be the B-side anyway, so just go and do it.
On the spot.
Yes.
Sugar Ree became a major hit record. What was the timing, Rusty, between recording, when you recorded it and when it started to really take off?
We had it out on PJ label, then we sold it to Note, and then we sold it to Chess. We first took it around to everybody, and they said, nah, we don't want that.
What was the time frame in there between when you first cut it and when Chess finally?
A month or two.
That's still pretty rapid.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the Dick Clark tour. What was the timing between Sugar Ree catching on and Dick Clark getting in touch with you and making that tour happen?
Well, he started playing it right away on his American Bandstand. He called me and they said, what do you want to do about this? And I said, well, what do you want to do? And they said, well, we can have you on the Dick Clark Saturday Night Beechnut Show. And I said, okay, sure.
That was a no-brainer, wasn't it?
Yes.
Also with you there was Duane Eddy.
Yes.
Frankie Avalon.
Yes.
And the renowned Annette Funicello.
Yes.
And were you traveling with your band on that tour? Or was the did Dick's tour have a band and you fronted the band?
They had a band, and I only did one number, Sugar Ray.
And that was it?
Yes.
Did you ever appear on the TV show?
Yes, uh-huh. I did.
What about the Hollywood Bowl?
Well, they say that I'm the first one to ever do rock and roll at the Hollywood Bowl. Mm-hmm.
And was that with your band, or was that on the Dick
no,
Clark
that,
tour?
That was on the Dick Clark tour. Mm-hmm.
You remember that night?
Yes, mm-hmm. I do. I remember going to sleep downstairs, and then when I woke up, Dick Clark said, did Rusty York ever show up? And I said, I've been here for hours. So he said, okay, you're ready to do that number.
And was that a crowd that was reacting in a way that was pretty powerful for you?
Yes.
Yeah, they really enjoyed it.
There was flash bulbs popping all over the place.
Wow.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my wheel, but what a thrill. Goodness and gracious, great balls of fire. I liked that loving, but I thought it was funny. You came along and you moved me, honey. I changed my mind, this love is mine. Goodness and gracious, great balls of fire. Kiss me, baby, ooh, feels good. Hold me, baby. I wanna love you like a lover should. You're fine, so kind. Wanna tell the world that you're mine, 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 mine. I chew my nails and then I twiddle my thumbs. I'm real nervous, but it sure is fun. Oh, baby, you drive me crazy. Goodness and gracious, great balls of fire. Like a lover should. You're fine, so kind. Wanna tell the world that you're mine, 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 mine. I chew my nails then I twiddle my thumbs. I'm real nervous but it sure is fun. Oh baby, you drive me crazy. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I think we all know, back to the King side of things, we all know that Sid Nathan was his own man, always thinking, always ahead of the pack. I was amazed when I discovered that he had paired you up with Hank Ballard in the Midnighters. What was that all about?
We were pressing at King Records, and I went down to Carl Burkhart's studio one day. So I was pressing some Jewel records. So they were pressing them down there.
Now, let's inform our listening audience here. Carl Burkhart.
Right, Records.
Here in Cincinnati.
Yes.
And when you say you're pressing a Jewel, what you're referring to there is you had done some sessions at your studio, Jewel.
Yes.
And you were taking those tapes to King for pressing. Is that correct?
Yes, okay. I was.
And so back to Hank.
When I cut Sugar Ray, Sid Nathan called in Hank Ballard, and they did Sugar Ray, their version of it. So we were pressing there, and they said, sorry.
King was such a blending of cultures, really, and different types of music. An amazing amount of variety came out of there. And one of the things that also happened down there was an amazing blend of blacks and whites at a time when that was a little bit atypical. And reflected in the music, and sessions involved black players and white players and so forth. Did you experience that down there? And I'm just curious, what was the racial situation like in those walls?
There was a lot of tension when I recorded with Hank Ballard's band, and they were drinking apple wine. I said, I'll have some of that. So they were drinking out of half a pint bottles. So I took some and drunk it, and sure enough, I started gelling with the band.
It lightened the tension in the room a little bit.
Yes.
What'd you record with them?
Tore Up Over You, written by Hank Ballard.
Mm-hmm. And was that released as a single?
Yes, uh-huh. It was. It was Good Night Cincinnati, Good Morning Tennessee,
right.
Was one of them. And
was Good Night Cincinnati meant to be the A-side? I'm just curious.
Well, who knows, because it had been a hit by a country guy.
Well, good night, Cincinnati, and good morning, Tennessee. I'm heading into Nashville just as happy as can be. Hear them eight-wheel drivers rolling, they're talking just to me. They say good night, Cincinnati, good morning, Tennessee. I've been from Maine to Frisco, yes, I've traveled everywhere. I've rode the blinds and gone first class when I could pay the fare. There's not a train I didn't ride while I was on the roam. Now show me to an upper berth, cause I'm a-coming home. I've rode the Dixie Flyer, Super Chief, and Santa Fe. The B&O and Chesapeake both put me on my way. Now I'm aboard the Hummingbird, she's humming, yes siree. It's good night, Cincinnati, good morning, Tennessee. I've been in all the cities, lots of people I have met. But there's one kind of special that I know I can't forget. She'll be waiting at the station with a great big kiss for me. It's good night, Cincinnati, good morning, Tennessee. Well, good night, Cincinnati, and good morning, Tennessee. I'm heading into Nashville just as happy as can be. Hear them eight-wheel drivers rolling, they're talking just to me. They say good night, Cincinnati, good morning, Tennessee. Well, good night, Cincinnati, and good morning, Tennessee. I'm heading into Nashville just as happy as can be. Hear them eight-wheel drivers rolling, they're talking just to me. They say good night, Cincinnati, and good morning, Tennessee. They say good night, Cincinnati, good morning, Tennessee.
Well, what about Bobby Bear?
I fronted the Bobby Bear Band for a long time.
Did Bobby Bear do any recording at King?
He recorded All American Boy there.
And that was a pretty good size.
Yes, it was. Number two.
What other recordings did you do at King? And what about your last session? Do you remember that one or when that might have been?
I recorded Bluegrass at King.
And was that towards the tail end of what you did down there?
Yes. I was going to tell you about the time that I found the audition tapes from King. I was down in Somerset, Kentucky, 200 or 300 miles from Cincinnati. And I came across the tapes that I had made. They were $5 each. There was no CDs in those days.
So you found those for sale in a shop down there?
No, a flea market.
Unbelievable. And needless to say, you brought them all back.
Yes, wow. Yes. And so I put them on, and they broke right away. And, of course, the tape was brittle, but I patched it back together.
And there's been an awful lot of good music that's come out of Jewel over the years, too. And I wanted to mention Lonnie Mack's Whatever's Right was cut out there. And I think part of the Hills of Indiana was cut out there, if I'm not mistaken, too, wasn't it?
He recorded an album with us that was on Elektra, and that was a big label in those days.
Absolutely. And what's this about the Grateful Dead at Jewel Records?
They came there once.
And was that like just an afternoon session? Were they passing through town, or what was that all about?
They flew in specially for this session.
Rusty, thanks for joining us.
Okay, you're welcome.
Take care.
Okay, here we go.
Well, arrested on the charges of an unemployment, he wasn't sitting in the witness stand. The judge's wife told the district attorney, better free that brown-eyed man. If you want your job, you better free that brown-eyed man. Flying across the desert in a TWE, I saw a woman walking across the sand. She walked 30 miles en route to Bombay to meet a brown-eyed handsome man. Her destination was a brown-eyed handsome man. Well, away back in history 3,000 years ago, and ever since the world began, been a whole lot of loving women shedding tears for a brown-eyed handsome man. The fighting trouble was a brown-eyed handsome man. Daughter couldn't make up her mind between a doctor and a lawyer man. Well, her mama said, baby, go out and find yourself a brown-eyed handsome man like your daddy. He's a brown-eyed handsome man.
was a beautiful lass. She had the world in the palm of her hand. She lost both her arms in a wrestling match to meet a brown-eyed handsome man. She fought and won herself a brown-eyed handsome man. Well, two and three to count with nobody on. He hit a high fly into the stand. He rounded third, he was heading for home. He was a brown-eyed handsome man. He won the ball game, a brown-eyed handsome man.
My baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Yes, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. I took her out to a picture show. She said, man, no, 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 no. Take me where the lights all blur. I'll show you how this cat can purr. Well, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Well, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Yes, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind.
I took her out to have some fun. I took her down where the hot rods run. She looked at me, said big and loud, look man, there's too much of a crowd.
Well, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Well, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. My baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Well, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind.
Well, I took her out where the lights were blurred. She showed me just how she could purr. I held her up so close to me. The way she was shaking, I could see that.
My baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Well, my baby's got nothing but sweet love on her mind. Yeah, my baby's got.